Not that long ago, we lived in a world where we had to log on to the internet in a really concrete way. Connecting to dial-up, say, was a big deal, a separate space from the rest of our lives. But with faster internet for many and internet in our pocket on our phones, our separation between online and real life has faded, with many of us spending maybe even the majority of our time online. A lot of people are worried about the impact of our lives online, but our next guest says if we're thoughtful about it, the internet can be a positive tool for self-discovery and personal connection in real life. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has the internet helped you find meaning in your life in ways big or small? Has it helped you feel connected to others? Do you think people who are on the internet all the time are different than who they are in real life, or has that gap closed? And have you ever taken a break from social media? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Chris Stedman is a Minneapolis-based writer and speaker. He's the founding director of the Humanist Center of Minnesota and an adjunct professor of religion and philosophy at Augsburg University. His latest book is called IRL, Finding Realness, Meaning, and Belonging in Our Digital Lives. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I think we've swung from the early days of the internet with this almost utopian vision of this magical machine that's going to help us connect with everybody to this negative view of social media as a bad place where we're all kind of phony. You are exploring a middle ground in your book. What set you off on this mission?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say I love how you set up the conversation, because I think you're exactly right in the sense that at one point, logging on was a kind of discrete activity. I have memories as a child of biking to the library to use the internet there because I didn't have it at home, which is obviously very different from the experience I have today, where I have a smartphone in my pocket at all times, and it's the first thing I look at in the morning and the last thing I look at before I go to bed. And so this book really started when a few years ago I was going through a time of sort of personal change and transition in my life. And, you know, my long-term relationship had ended, my job was changing, and yet I found myself continuing to post online as if it was sort of business as usual. And I felt like there was a tension between the fact that I've spent so much of my time online, and yet I felt like there were certain things that I wasn't sure if I could bring them to my digital life. And so I wanted to start exploring that tension, the sort of, you know, where I think this phrase, you know, IRL in real life originated from was went as a way of sort of making the distinction between the internet and the rest of our lives, when the internet was once sort of a more discrete activity. But now it's sort of woven into every single part of our lives. And so we use the internet for things that we would very much consider to be real, things that are very large and meaningful. And as you mentioned, I teach religion and philosophy, and so a lot of the focus of my work over the years has been on how people make meaning and where they find meaning in their lives. And one thing that I've observed is that we're sort of shifting out of some of the institutions in which we've historically wrestled with some of the big central questions of what it means to be human, and moving a lot of that work into digital space. And so I wanted to understand how moving not only more of our lives, but also more important parts of our lives that have to do with these really central questions about who we are, to the internet, how that shift is affecting our understanding of what it means to be a person. So that's what the book really is all about.
And you make a point on and off again through the book that, you know, the internet, it feels like it's all around us, but it's really new. And in a lot of ways, we are all amateurs. None of us have really figured out the answers to a lot of the questions about how we should and shouldn't relate to each other on the internet. That seems like kind of a relief, actually, to think of it that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, and I actually think, you know, what can feel like a source of anxiety there actually, I think, can be a real asset, because whenever we go through a huge cultural shift like this, we have to sort of go back to the drawing board a little bit and figure out what is actually important and significant to us. And so I think all of us have felt this year in some ways. You know, I have many colleagues who have had to move courses they've been teaching offline for years to the internet. And so you can either sort of try to recreate the same exact kind of experience online that you could have offline, in which case you'll feel sort of dissatisfied or feel like something's off. Or you can say, what kind of experience is important here, and how can I go about meeting it in a new way in this new space? And that kind of forces you to go back and ask yourself really important and central questions. And I think online, we're all doing something so new, something that we're not good at yet. And if we want it to feel exactly like the things we do offline, well, sure, then it's going to feel fake. It's going to feel, something will feel off. But I think if we treat it instead as a new opportunity to try to meet age-old needs that we've had in new ways and with sort of strengths and weaknesses all its own, I think there's a real opportunity there. It's like the shift to the printing press at one point in the past. You know, we at that point, I think, you know, there was a lot of fear and anxiety about the change. There were valid criticisms about sort of what's lost when you go through a big shift like that. You know, when knowledge is transmitted orally, person to person, that fosters certain kinds of relationships that are lost when the ideas are put in a book and then, you know, someone reads it later. But it also allows for new ways of sharing information, new ways of sort of coming to understand ourselves better. And so I think we just need to be honest about the fact that life online is real life, and also to not sort of cleave it off as this part of our lives that is somehow just a space that we kind of escape into or goof off in, but rather as a space that we should take seriously, that's a rich source for coming to better understand ourselves and forging really meaningful connections with others.
Talking to Chris Stedman, his new book is called IRL, Finding Realness, Meaning, and Belonging in Our Digital Lives. Chris, there's a lot of negative behavior on the internet, no secret there. And the thing you just said about taking it seriously as a space, I think a lot of people did do what you just said and think, okay, this isn't a real place, so I can kind of do whatever I want and it doesn't have consequence. Do you think if we approach the internet in a more thoughtful, serious way, we could start to pull back from some of that nasty stuff that we think is just a lark but actually might be hurting people?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I've done that many times without even really being aware of the fact that I had absorbed so thoroughly this idea that life online is somehow either fake or at least less real, less consequential than the other parts of my life, that I don't have to bring the same kind of thoughtfulness to it. But I also think that, you know, people sometimes refer to the internet as a kind of funhouse mirror in the sense that it distorts and warps certain things, but it also reveals others. And I think sometimes when we see ourselves respond, you know, I started to notice, like, I would respond to people online who were being sort of rude to me by being rude back. And if I tell myself the internet's not real, then in some ways, on the one hand, I can, you know, sort of be less thoughtful in my interactions with others, but I can also be more dismissive of my own actions and say, well, that's not really real. And I think that that's sometimes a way of trying to, you know, not be honest with ourselves. But I also think we can look at our digital habits and come to better understand ourselves through them, not to dismiss them, not to, you know, if I see myself being, you know, snotty with someone online, you know, I can either sort of dismiss it as not real, or I can say, like, oh, this is information about myself that I can use to come to better understand myself. And so, you know, and I think actually, like, you know, going back to what I said earlier about institutions, I think many of us feel in this moment in time that we've sort of moved away from the institutions that we've often used to organize society and create structure and space for ourselves to explore big questions in life, that we sort of moved away from that model toward a more individualized experience of seeking out our own information, answers, and community online. But really all we've done is swapped one kind of institution for another. The internet is this its own kind of institution. It has its own norms and conventions that we often aren't aware of. And I think the more we bring a critical lens to how we are online, but also the sort of the platforms themselves and what directions they move us in, you know, do we use the internet to try to come to better understand ourselves more, or are we just kind of mindlessly clicking and scrolling, which is so easy to do? And I think, you know, we not only need to be honest about our own actions online, we need to be honest about the actual sort of water that we swim in itself and what the realities of that are. And so as I spent the last few years researching, doing interviews, reading up on the internet, and you know, I learned so much, and I came to recognize just how much the internet isn't just this kind of neutral space, but actually really plays a big role in shaping how I see myself. And so I just want to bring more honesty to and more self-awareness to how I am online.
One way you did that, and this I think was toward the end of your book project, was you took a very deliberate break, a sabbatical, I think you called it, and some others call it, from the internet. 3 months, I think, which sounds hard, even for me. I'm not, you know, an always online guy, but that sounds like a lot. What did you learn from taking time off from the internet?
It was very hard. I remember friends in the early days of my break pointing out that I was texting them in like tweet format because I was going through some serious withdrawal. But it's interesting. I took this 3 month break both to kind of experience life away from the internet, since I was reflecting so much on life online as I wrote this book, but also really just so I could focus on finishing the book. And at first I noticed it was really difficult, and I was kind of going through withdrawal, but then it was immensely relieving. I experienced, a kind of a sense of peace. I felt much less anxious, and that would almost seem to confirm this idea that, you know, the internet makes us more anxious, more lonely, more isolated, all the kind of negative things that we hear about the internet. But actually, you know, the reason I felt less anxious is because I was essentially on a retreat. It's like going off on a meditation retreat in the woods. Like, you feel less anxious because you're disconnected from the world. You're not confronted with other people's realities, with the struggles of the world, all the things that, you know, being online brings onto our radars, about how uncertain life is, how difficult life is for so many people. And so if I only have to think about myself, if I'm disconnected, then yeah, of course I'm going to feel less anxious. But that doesn't mean that there isn't value in disconnection too. And this, you know, goes back to what you were saying at the very beginning. In a time when connection is sort of the norm, when we can reflexively just grab our phones and start scrolling, we have to be really intentional about taking time away, not because life online is fake or less real, but because there is perspective we can only get when we're truly alone. The kinds of questions about Who am I? What is my responsibility to the world around me that I can only experience when I'm fundamentally by myself? And so, you know, that was one thing I really learned during this break, during this time away, was that, you know, at one point my real life was separate from my online life because going online was a kind of activity. But now going online is so, you know, intimately woven into every single part of who I am and how I experience life, that it is my real life, but I also do need time to be alone. Something that I experienced quite a bit before the internet, but that now is something I have to actually sort of be intentional about, in the same way that I would intentionally log on and connect when I was younger.
That's a good place to leave it, Chris. Thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Chris Stedman. His new book is called IRL, Finding Realness, Meaning, and Belonging in Our Digital Lives.